intertwine for just a moment, and then we are alone, wondering where love has gone.
You've taken things too far, Judy Niemeyer. You wrote that song, and it's on your new album called Listening to You, and we're going to be listening. I want to listen to you tell me what that song is about.
Okay. Thanks, Michael. Great to be here. That song is a song about that space when a relationship ends.
Oh!
And you're looking back and trying to figure out what you did and what they did and what happened.
And why didn't it end earlier?
How did it last so long?
Exactly.
And how did you push the boundaries to the point where maybe it slid over the cliff?
It's a space-time continuum, love, isn't it? Something like that, or whatever
exactly.
You want to call it, or something to that effect.
That's
a wonderful effect, because it's a great new album called Listening to You, and Dan Teffer playing piano, and he's with me, and you're both going to be playing in just a while and singing here on WBG. How'd this come about?
Dan here with this voice. I guess Judy and I met through Lee Konitz, who I've been playing with for about 11 years now, which is kind of crazy to think about. 10 years, I'm not sure, something around there. What were the circumstances, Judy? Do you remember?
Well, you guys were performing at a beautiful concert space in Berlin. I have a feeling it was in the French Cultural
Center.
Oh, I
remember. That was a great gig. Yeah, it was in the French Cultural Center, and there were tons of people, and it was just super intimate, like not a huge space, everybody crammed in.
Yeah, people on kind of couches and low chairs, and I actually heard you guys there twice, and the second time I joined you and sang. And I said, I got to record with that guy. He's amazing.
Huh. Yeah.
And time went by, and you came back a few times to Berlin.
And, you know, I grew up accompanying my mom. And I've just, she's a singer, and I've always had a really soft spot for singers, for great singers. And so, you know, you're definitely one of them. And so it was, I remember playing with you and thinking, okay, this is the real deal.
Nice.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Lee Konitz is like a musical godfather to you in some way. I mean, he stood up. He was the best man at your wedding,
exactly.
I remember, played at the reception. And two of these songs you wrote with Lee Konitz.
He sent me he faxed me the music years ago and said, how about a lyric? And I wrote one, and finally they're getting recorded, and he's thrilled about it. And so
I didn't realize this was the first time.
Yeah.
Wait,
yeah.
So your lyric to Chick Him Around has never been recorded before?
Never, and Thingin' also.
Oh, wow. Those are nice.
We'll get to that also. But in the meantime, listening to them, Dan Teffer with Judy Niemeyer on WBGO.
It's clear from the very start, listening to you. A sound led you to a sound absolutely new. That smooth, diaphanous edge, that cool, ambiguous line, they tell a marvelous tale of love and adventure. There's always something to say, a fresh, original way. The song is never the same, you've played it forever. You're still playing like a man, looking for the truth. You run ahead of the pack, out front, no time to look back.
That's the title song from Listening to You, new album from Judy Niemeyer with Dan Teffer. And they're with me, and they're going to be doing some songs live in just a while, but you came together in Berlin, and you've been teaching in Berlin, Judy, about an eon now, right?
I've been teaching there since 94, 95.
Okay, a mere 23 years.
Yeah. Started Germany's first professor of vocal jazz.
You?
Yeah. They didn't invent the job until I got there.
So what do they call the school now? Because it used to be part of...
Hans Eisler.
Ah.
Hochschule für Musik, aber jetzt. But now it's called Jazz Institute Berlin.
Sehr gut.
Yeah, es ist sehr gut.
Ganz gut over there? I mean, it's an interesting time because you came after the wall and all of that. All of that was done when you came there.
Right, but I inherited all these shell-shocked East Berliners because the school was in the east part of Berlin. So I was teaching there, and the students, there had been microphones in every room, every practice room, every teaching room, so the Stasi was listening in to the lessons. So, I mean, people were severely mistrustful, and here I was, California woman. Hi, how are you?
Wow.
So it took some time to adjust.
You need to write a book about that.
With some heavy times.
I'm actually writing a big chapter of mine about Berlin because I went there every year the world changed. I went there during the Cold War. And going through the wall was like being in a spy novel. Mm. There were people following me and the whole thing. It was bizarre. But the whole thing was it changed over the years. And then the wall came down. I have chunks of it still. And then it was still there. It was the Ossies and the Vessies, the people who lived in the East and the people who lived in the West, still did not really get along.
No.
And how's it been 20 years? They still like that? They still don't get along?
No, it's different because the generations have, you know, been born and grown up, and they're internet kids. You know, they're global citizens. And plus, there's such a huge influx of people from other countries, European countries, as well as, you know, we got 1 million immigrants this year from Syria and Afghanistan. And so there's like this, and Berlin in particular is a big international melting pot like New York.
I remember talking to Joachim Kuhn once, and he escaped as a teenager from the East. When the wall came down, when the wall was up, East German artists often got paid by the government to be artists. And that was true especially of avant-garde jazz guys like Luton, like Ernst Ludwig Petrovsky and cats like that, who I'd get to hear when I'd be there. And Joachim Kuhn, his great line was, yes, and now they have to learn changes. Because now they have to learn how to play music that people want to hear and be paid for.
Right.
That's hilarious. Wow.
Yeah, and that's what I inherited in that school. And Kirk Newrock was the director.
Okay.
And David Friedman was over there, the vibes player. And, you know, so there was this little, you know, crux of Americans who were expected to bring the whole level up to New York City standards, right, like overnight. But anyway, 23 years later, it's on a level, I'll tell you.
Well, let's listen to Dan Tepfer play some changes. Let's have a song on one of these standards. You do some standards on this album also.
Yeah, we love standards.
How about There Will Never Be Another Judy Nemac?
Sounds good.
There will be many other nights like this, and I'll be standing here with someone new. There will be other songs to sing, another fall, another spring. There will never be another you. There may be other lips that I may kiss, but theirs won't thrill me like yours used to do. 'Cause I may dream a million dreams, how can they come true if there will never ever be another you? There may be other nights like this. I have a feeling that I'll be standing here with someone new. There may be another fall, there may be another spring, but there will never be another you. I'm sure There will be other lips that I will kiss, but they won't thrill me like yours used to do. I may dream a million dreams, but how can they come true if there will never, never be another you? There may be many, 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 many other nights like this, and I'll be standing here with someone new. Maybe another fall and spring, another song to sing, but there will never be another you. There will be other lips that I may kiss, but theirs won't thrill me like yours used to do. Yes, I may dream a million dreams. How can they come true if there will never, ever be? There will never, 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 ever be. How could there be anyone else like you?
Judy Niemack and Dan Tepfer with me on WBGO and at WBGO. Singers Unlimited, perfect for Judy because you can sing anything. And to quote somebody on your album, you're still as great as you were 30 years ago.
Thank you.
I said recently, because it happens at the birthdays of Bobby McFerrin and Al Jarreau and Judy Niemack and Mark Murphy, all happened within a couple of days. And it seems to me that if you're going to have four definitive jazz singers, you couldn't get better than those four. And it really is true, because you sing across the spectrum of jazz. You hang in and play and sing standards like that, but you do them jazzfully. And your chops are amazing, and you know how to scat, and you can do things inside and around and beyond harmonies, and it's scary. I like to say scary. When somebody is really that good, I like to think they're scary, and you're scary sometimes.
Wow, Michael, I've been told my mantra is accept compliments.
Yeah.
I'm gonna breathe, and thank you so much.
No, when you were at the Kitano the last time with Darman Meter, I mean, this is a cat who's got pitch like a laser, you know, who's got amazing chops, and to hear these two voices, you know,
oh, we had fun.
Yeah, it's like two great rivers smashing together. It was wonderful.
Oh God, Darman, you know, I met him when he first came down here from Ithaca, right? To
right,
start
right.
New York Voices.
Too. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, this guy can scat. You know, I got to work with him. And eventually, you know, 20 years later, we've doing a few gigs.
So, Dad, when you hear her singing, when you've been playing with her singing, does she surprise you that, oh, wow, she can do, I've never heard anybody do that. Do you have those moments like that?
You know, I'm very detail-oriented. Somehow this is like the defining characteristic of me. I really notice every like detail, and it's so important to me that every note be carefully chosen and that every intention be kind of real and felt. And that's the thing that jumps out at me when I listen to Judy or when I play with her is I feel full connection all the time. And I also, you know, huge ears. You know, I really, to me, especially duo format is a real exploration. It's somewhere where we engage on a road and we really just kind of follow it together and we don't know where it's going. And Judy is not only open to that, but also like just so prepared musically and emotionally to just go wherever it goes. I was just listening to this record, which we made 5 years ago. I was just listening to it last night. And I was just really amazed at especially where the songs go emotionally and kind of dramatically and how it seems like we're both going completely in the same direction all the time. But we made this record in, what, 3 hours?
Exactly.
It's not like we really rehearsed or anything either. It's really like we went in there with a very similar, I think, idea of how this can work. And then, you know, there are these codas on the songs where we're just kind of going to other places that are completely unplanned, and it just works really beautifully. And I think it's something about, on the one hand, being prepared and you know, being able to hear harmonies and respond to them very quickly, and on the other hand, just being kind of fearless, I think.
A duet, you know, you're not an accompanist. You're the collaborator. You're,
exactly.
You know, what you're talking about, is there a song on this album that exemplifies what you were just talking about?
I think they kind of all do, but let's see, of the ones I was listening, I think, well, All the Things You Are, definitely. That's the last song on the record. It has this really cool coda, and the whole thing goes to really different spots, so yeah, I think that's a good example.
Here it is on WBGM.
You are the promised kiss of springtime that makes the lonely winter seem long. You are the breathless hush of evening, trembling on the brink of a lovely song. You're the angel glow.
Listening to You is the new album from Judy Nemac and Dan Tepfer, and they're with me and listening just then to All the Things You Are. And you can listen to them. You're going to be playing live?
We've got a gig, a CD release at Kitano on April 1st.
April Fool's Day.
Exactly, Saturday.
No joke.
There you go. No. I'll be there. I was there the last time. And just wonderful. I mean, it really is interesting. To hear your voice after all these years of listening to you and knowing you from the very beginning. And what I talked about in the little note that I wrote was what struck me was you could hear your life. You could hear that you've lived 30 years because singers, I mean, you grow up in your life, and there are songs you can't sing when you were young, and there's songs you can't sing anymore when you're old. But there's also a kind of darkness that comes into the voice physically. And yours has just burnished beautifully.
Hey, thank you.
You know, I mean, the sound in your voice, it also then, I think some of the darker sounds in your voice correspond then to our lives as we get older. We get darker.
You know? And our voices are how we express it.
Yeah.
You know, every day when we're speaking. And yeah, it's so personal and exposed.
So teaching how to express it is what you do at the school. So how do you do that? How do you teach jazz singing?
Well, you know, it's a complex process that I kind of divide it into different sections. I have a vocal technique part, of course, because I studied classical singing at New England Conservatory, where Dan also studied. And
you were a classical major there?
Yeah. I was an opera singer, coloratura.
I didn't know that. You were a coloratura opera singer.
Exactly. And then I got seduced by the Tristano music and Lenny, and I studied then with Warren Marsh, and that's how I met Lee Konitz. And You know, that so that brought in the other side of the training, the training for improvisation, and I work a lot with my students on that, on knowing the chords, knowing the scales, working through the rhythmic patterns and writing solos, transcribing solos, so being an instrument. But the other part, your main question was about the emotional interpretation, and you know, first of all, they're usually not native English speakers. I'm teaching in Berlin. I have students from Spain, from Croatia, from Israel, from Turkey, from, you know, France, from and a few Germans from all over. But none of them are native English speakers. So it's like really exploring what those words mean and finding where they resonate in you, rewriting them in your own language, finding a story in your life that relates to it. And really realizing they need to have an explanation often of what these standards actually mean. So that's a long answer.
I was telling you once that, you know, the years that I was there the years before you were there. But before, when the wall came down, everything was different. But there was a time when I call it the Beast of Berlin, was the audience, would boo singers off the stage. They didn't like singers in singing in English.
Wow.
They didn't want to hear anything in English.
Uh-huh.
Like you watch a TV show, you can see all these, Ironside and all these American TV shows always dubbed into German. And so now you're teaching, you know, it's too, but jazz is itself a language.
And the musical phrases, of course, come partly from their own languages. But hey, when you're singing these lyrics, you need to be able to express in English.
Do you, how much do you encourage your students to write in German, write their own material?
I do encourage them, and I have one young singer now who's got a 3-record deal with Edel Records, and he's like 21 years old, writing all German lyrics to bebop.
Oh, wow.
It's wild. You'll hear of him, Eric Leuthauser. But anyway, yeah, they're starting with that, but they prefer to write in English, and I'm starting to give a class in that because it is an art form, and I've done so much lyric writing, and you don't just write a bunch of cliches. So it's fun. It's fun to work on that.
And German, the verbs come at the end of the sentence. And also, German is much more consonant than, it's why operas sound better in Italian, because there's so many more vowels. And vowels are what you hold when you're a singer.
There's some pretty good operas in German.
Oh, okay.
They just sound different.
Okay. His mom's an opera singer.
All right, all right, all right. All right. Listen, I
saw Salome a few months ago at the Met. That was fantastic. Oh. Wow.
So, no, I grew up being taught and sung to in German by my Großmutter.
Ah.
So.
Oh. Ach, du meine Güte.
Michael, hasse ich nicht, weiße ich, in der Hosen, scheiße ich.
Okay, all right. All right, okay. Give it up.
All right.
Hey, I want to talk about Dan. I didn't get to talk about him yet.
Say something.
I just want to say that, so this duo, this experience of we did rehearse a couple times, and recording, and whenever we've played together, it's completely different than my experience with any other pianist. And that's because Dan brings with him all this background also of classical music as well as jazz. And he's been like into both for his whole life. And so it's possible not only to be limited by the normal jazz language, which of course we love and we've you know become very familiar and comfortable with, but he takes it out into all this other huge ocean of possibilities in the classical world. And that makes the music go in another direction. It's very inspiring.
Thank you.
So whip one out, Dan. We just had the piano fixed just for you.
Thank you.
Play something. Just play something. Play something solo. Seriously. What do you want to play? Come on, play me something. Play me something German, if you.
Eins, zwei, drei.
Du liebst mir ein Herzen. Du, you know.
Okay. What are we doing here?
Play some solo piano for me right
some
now.
Some solo piano.
Play a tune off the top of your head. Tell him what to play.
One of the variations on the variations.
Oh, you want me to play one of the Goldberg variations?
Yeah.
Okay, I can
whip
do that.
It out.
Okay, here's the Golby Variation number 3, which is a canon at the unison, and I'll follow that with an improvised canon at the unison on the same set of changes that Bach is using in his variation.
Dan Tepfer at the piano on WBGO.
That'll be fun.
At WBGO. Bach is supposed the jazz of classical music anyway. Bach wanted people to play their own cadenzas and improvise, right?
Yeah, and he was mainly known in his lifetime as an improviser, in fact.
He's like the Art Tatum back then.
Definitely, yeah, up there.
Something to that effect. And Dan Tepfer is with Judy Niemack. The new album is called Listening to You, and since you're both here and you're playing and you're here to sing, sing something. What do you want to sing next?
Oh, I think I would like to do this gorgeous ballad that we explored on the album, and we'll have a new version of it today. I learned it from listening to Billie Holiday, and it's called You're My Thrill. Nothing
seems to matter. But where's my will? Why this strange desire that keeps on mounting higher? I can't stand still. You're my
Judy Nemac singing and Dan Tepfer at the piano on WBGO. Listening to You is the new album, and on April Fool's Day, they are going to be playing at Kitano, and they're going to be wonderful. And I didn't realize this. I thought you did this record like yesterday, because it sounds like yesterday. It sounds like tomorrow, actually.
Yes!
You did it a while ago, but...
Yeah, it took a while to get it out.
And it looks so good. These pictures on the album look just so great. I mean,
I had a very good consultant.
Something to that effect. What is the essential thing that you teach? Because you've done books. You've actually written books about
That's
how to
right.
be a jazz singer. So what's the most important lesson?
That's a hard one. The books have different focuses. I have one coming out now about intonation. So that's coming out in September.
How can you actually teach somebody to sing in tune who can't?
Yes, of course. If they're a singer, there are physical things that they can do, and then there are ways of listening, and then there are exercises to practice. So, for example, in classical, there are many etudes with chromatic intervals, but why not in jazz? So I just wrote a whole book with those and went and recorded them for my Hear It and Sing It books.
Because I get so many demos from singers, wannabe singers, and they can't sing in tune.
Right. Well, the classical training helps.
It does. Okay.
I mean, it's practice.
You're about to sing in an opera.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
This is an opera that was written by a man that I met back in my Paris days in the 80s when I used to go over there and perform at a club. Le Bilboquet. I don't think it's still there, but anyway. I met a young man there who was a musician, but he later took a regular job. And in the years that passed, in the 40 years after, he had a daughter who became a jazz singer, and he was always playing her my CDs and my music. And he decided to write an operetta, a jazz operetta, with Judy Nemac as the main character and his daughter as the younger jazz singer. Actually, not Judy Nemac, but Judy as the main character. So I'll go and play myself, and we have scat battles, and there's, you know, where I'm threatened by this younger singer coming up, which is not me at all.
Right.
But because I love bringing young singers up, but it's really cool story with different love stories around, and we recorded the CD, and it got some prizes up in Vancouver, and he got a spot in the Vancouver Jazz Fest.
And what's it called?
It's called Le Jazz Club.
Le Jazz Club. With a Judy Nemac playing yourself.
Exactly.
Did you object to anything that he wrote you doing?
No, it was totally fun. It was fun. I was playing another form of me. The evil Judy.
Well, meanwhile, here's the lyricist to Judy, because you wrote this. Here's another song on this new album with Lee Konitz. Tell us about When Chick Came Around.
Okay. This is Lee's composition, of course, and he dedicated it to Chick Corea, with whom he's played many years in many different situations. And he gave me the music, and he said, write a lyric, and the first line has to be, Chick came around, and I heard me a sound. So he gave
That's
me the first line,
Lee.
You know?
Yeah.
And I went from there. Chick came around and I heard me a sound, and the sound that I heard was this. Joy that you couldn't miss. Something approaching bliss. Caught by surprise by the fire in his eyes, I was sworn to uphold the flame.
It's interesting that you learned from him, Warren Marsh, and Lenny Tristano, who was always, you know, the alternative stream of bebop. It was not Charlie Parker bebop. It was somewhere else. And a lot of times it's never really explained very much, because he didn't record that often. He didn't play that much out compared to everybody else who was playing back then. And yet there's this impact. There's still this, you know, Lenny Tristano presence in the music.
Exactly. And I think it's also, for me, coming out of classical, although I was doing jazz too, I was totally attracted by this tradition they had of writing these new melodies to traditional chord changes like Charlie Parker, but they were just so much more advanced and crazy and angular, and, you know, that appealed to my musical mind.
I have to jump in here. I would not necessarily agree that they're more advanced. I feel strongly that the Charlie Parker, Dizzy Gillespie school is just as advanced as anything. I think what's interesting to me about the contrafacts that the Tristano school created is that they're like more abstract somehow. You know, they're kind of colder and weirder.
That's true. That's true.
You know, you got something like a Charlie Parker line like doo boop doo boop doo boop doo 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 I mean, it's very sophisticated in terms of the note choices, as sophisticated as anything, but it's still got the element of the blues.
Exactly.
And then you got something of Lee's, like, subconsciously, boo boo dip doo dip boo ba doo dee da da loo da loo da vee da loo. And it's just like, it's kind of weird in a great way. And it's very Lee in that it's a tidy bit awkward, but also completely sophisticated and just different. And I wouldn't personally call it more sophisticated, just kind of different in this interesting way.
Totally great explanation. I'm with you.
Well, meanwhile, let's hear one of those really fundamental things. One of the most fundamental songs in all of jazz is Body and Soul, and you do that on this album here, and. It's a song, really, that if you're a tenor player, you have to play it because of Coleman Hawkins. But,
yeah.
You know, when you were going to be recording this, Dan, what did you listen for in this most recorded song?
You know, this is actually one of the songs I've most played with Lee Konitz. You know, Lee is, and this is actually one of the cool things about Judy's lyrics on, I think it's on Thengen, right, where you say, you keep playing the same song over and over again, but it's always new. I'm paraphrasing here.
Exactly. it's dedicated to Lee, that lyric on Listening to You.
Yeah. So. And it's true that Lee is one of these people who's been able to constantly renew the same material and make it very obvious, I think, to the listeners that it's not really about what the material is, but what you bring to it. So I don't know. To me, Body and Soul is like this. It's a vehicle, and I'm listening for the same thing as I'm listening for on all the other songs, which is to just go from a starting point together and then see where it can take us.
On WBGO,
I spend my days longing. I'm wondering why. Why is it me you're wronging? I don't know why, but I'm all for you, body and soul.
Judy Niemack singing, Dan Tepfer at the piano. Listening to You is a new album. How do people get this album?
It's available on Sunnyside Records, so it will be just Google Sunnyside.
And how do people
or my website?
And how do people get your books? All these singers who can't sing in tune can learn how to sing in tune by reading Judy's books. How can they get learn from you?
Those are published by Don Sickler at Second Floor Music and distributed by Hal Leonard. But just go to my website,
which is
judyniemack.com.
That's simple and easy and wonderful. And how often are you out of Berlin?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I've been in New York 4 times already in the last year, so I'm
here
a lot.
It's only 8.5 hours on a plane.
Right, you know. You can always work or sleep.
So, ultimately, I think it's, you know, jazz is in the moment. And can I put the two of you in the moment and just say, play something and sing something, not something on the record.
Just
whip one out.
Perfect. We're going to figure that out, and we will do it with gusto.
Or not, depending on how we feel.
What is this thing called love? This funny thing called love? And who can solve its mystery? Why does it make a fool out of me? I saw you, it was a wonderful day. You stole my heart and threw it away. That's why I ask that Lord, wherever he may be, in heaven above, what is this thing called love? what is it? What is it? What is this thing called love? Funny, funny thing. Tell me who can solve its mystery. Why does it make a fool out of me? Why? I saw you there. It was a wonderful day. And then you took my heart. You stole it. And then you threw it away. Yay, yay. And that's why I asked the Lord in heaven up above, what is this thing called love? Ah, vare voda vap, vodi vado de de da bap, vedura de vao vaya do de, vaya de da da yo da da yo da. What is it? Just who can solve its mystery? Why does it make a fool of me? I saw you there one wonderful day, and then you stole my heart, threw it away. That's why I asked the Lord up in heaven above, I'm asking him, what is this thing? What is this thing? What is it? What is this thing called love? What is this thing called love?
Thank you, Judy Nemac. Thank you, Dan Tepfer. New album is called Listening to You. I first heard Judy Nemac singing more than 25 years ago. She was bright, imaginative, inventive, beautiful, swinging, a for real jazz singer, charming and with chops. She's actually even better now, her voice deeper, and with some of the darkness that comes with time. She's as actively imaginative, always singing into new musical horizons, nonetheless beautiful. nonetheless for real, says me.
Thank you, Michael.
On this album, listening to you. Let's have one more song. Pick one more song that we haven't played.
Let's hear Like a Butterfly.
All right. Like a Butterfly, They Float Out on WBGO.
Like a bird on the wing, little girls got to sing. Neath a rainbow sky, like a butterfly, as she twirls in a trance, little girl loves.